Welcome to DC On Screen. This is a podcast about the DC Universe properties being produced for film and television. From next year's Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, to television fare like The Flash, Arrow, and Gotham. To be clear, this is a spoiler-filled show. If you want to remain unspoiled, abandon all hope, ye who enter here. My name is David C. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Hello.
All right, there has been so much that's been going on. We're going to backtrack just a little bit more. We didn't get to any of the Jared Leto Joker stuff. We didn't get to so much Suicide Squad stuff that dropped, because it dropped like 5 hours after we stopped recording last week. Let's talk about some of the Suicide Squad stuff, man. Did you happen to check out that video they did of the Joker slapping Harley?
I saw that very briefly before Warner Brothers smited it from the internet, and along with it, the little clip of what is a very vaguely Jersey-sounding girl say, what was it? She says, catch up or something. I couldn't even tell. But there's been just enough footage to know that there's a major Harley Joker kind of vibe to it, which is going to be good. And there's even been hints that they're going to talk about the Joker when he's actually at the asylum and she's just, you know, Harleen Quinzel. And, you know, if we can do a quick nod to Mad Love while we're at this, that'll set my heart aflame. That'll be fine.
Well, I did catch the video where he kind of pulls up in the car and gets out and he's talking to her. Mm-hmm. Leto's Joker at this point seems very hammy. I couldn't decide if it looked very Hamill or just something else entirely. It, without hearing a voice, without actually, you know, having editing there, just from afar on a cell phone, it looks like it could go either way. It could be really dark and creepy, or it could be, you know, something more akin to Jim Carrey's The Riddler.
Yeah, I mean, at that distance and over that technology and with absolutely no other decent context and without the artist even getting to complete a stroke, that could be Laurence Olivier playing the Joker and it could still look like crap.
Yeah.
We have no real right to judge it yet, although we are welcome to.
Well, sure, that's why we're here.
And that's the joy of the whole thing. And whatever they do, you know, the voice is important because with Hamill doing it the way he has, I say has, with the hope that he'll do it again in the future. He put the bar so high for the Joker voice. And by the way, what's the name of the new guy doing that voice for the games?
Troy Baker. That's his
Thank
name.
You. Yes. He's done a fine job holding the mantle. He what?
I wanted to say Tom Baker for just a minute.
It's not.
Then actually got lost in how amazing it would have actually been to see the Fourth Doctor as the Joker.
We can't have everything, man. That voice, though, has been so iconic for so long, and that giant shit-eating grin, it's all very important. And without seeing it go through post, and without seeing it go through the coloring, whatever they're going to do with it, we can't know yet. All I can do is hope that I'm less afraid of that damaged tattoo by the end of the film than I know I will be at the beginning of the film. Because trepidation barely describes what I felt when I saw the damaged tattoo on the forehead.
Yeah, those tattoos, man. It would appear that our fears were very real. The damaged tattoo is on his head, the Joker tear, the J tear.
The Joker tear is actually a little funny. I can actually get behind that one. If it was by itself, I would have thought it was kind of quirky and tasteful. But on the rest of that skater boy body, it's too much. And yeah, I kind of like the ha 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 ha. This is by no means condemnation. I'm damned curious. I'll tell it that.
Well, I mean, It's not condemnation on my part either. There's a trepidation staring at these waters.
It's the word I keep coming back to every time I think about the Joker at this point. And my hope is that
is at the minimum the word you should be thinking of.
Right.
When you think
right.
of the Joker. Let's move on to some other news here.
Jerry, what you got?
I'm sure you've read this. They're talking about Doomsday being in Batman versus Superman, that he might be like a Zod clone or something like that. It's all rumor, just people randomly, rampantly conjecting.
Yeah, just people like ourselves with way too much time on their hands.
Yes.
And I was annoyed. We record these things on Saturday, and it was seriously about 2 hours after we stopped. It broke that Doomsday was officially going to appear.
Was it official? It looked like it was only a rumor to me.
It went from a rumor to official. I think last Saturday evening sometime. Because as of now, it's official. He's in there. Like, Luthor's in there. Who else do we have at this point?
Okay.
How many other villains? How'd you put it? How many villains can we cram in here?
Yeah, how many characters can they cram into Dawn of Justice? Like, this is getting scary.
There's a scary in a way rumor. That... There's a Aquaman rumor. It's going to be... Anybody who's cast at this point is in danger of wandering across the set and getting into frame.
I generally worry when they start... When you take a simple premise, and a premise that is simple on its face but could easily take up 3.5 hours, like Batman versus Superman.
Yes.
And you feel the need to cram in Wonder Woman and Doomsday and all of these people. Like
They're already going to be dealing with... the one thing that seems clear is they're dealing with the ramifications of... someone with godlike abilities suddenly showing up. And then Batman deciding to power check that. That's an hour and a half if you want it to, right there. Mm-hmm. If you fully flesh out that story. We've got... That's it. That's all you'd need. You could pull in, you know, Luthor at the end as just a tease for the next one, and that would... You wouldn't even have to make the entire thing about him. That being said, Eisenberg's... That's gonna be really good, so I have no hard feelings about it. It does make it look a lot like... If you have Luthor and Doomsday there, it starts to make it look like... Or Doomsday is going to somehow be a product of Lex. Because I think more that I hope that's how they're going to do it. Because what are the odds that somebody like Lex shows up on the scene at the same time that somebody like Doomsday falls out of the sky? That's a bad day there.
Yeah. I guess my big concern here is... as long as they keep a lot of these characters to cameo roles, we're going to be good. I just don't want this to be like DC scrambling and just shoving as many characters up our ass as we can take.
Yeah,
like,
we don't need that.
Not gonna cut it for me. Like, that's gonna be awful. If
these are all, I mean, I know powerful they're characters in their own right, but just let them tell their stories.
I mean, it is a kind of a funny idea that, you know, Superman shows up, no one helps him stop Zod.
Yeah,
they could have easily helped stop all the destruction.
Even Aquaman somewhere must have heard the destruction on the shores of Metropolis. It's somewhere,
right? Well, there was an idea that I've read numerous times that Aquaman's going to be, like, no pun intended, super pissed at Superman because
there was
world
even that rumor that he's
the
one that pulls him out of the water, right?
Yeah, he sent the whales there in that bit where he like falls in from the oil tanker or whatever. But
which for him is a power nap.
Yeah. But there's this idea that Aquaman is like, oh, the world engine messed up the oceans. I'm very angry as the king of Atlantis. Maybe you could have helped. Like, I get Aquaman not helping. Because traditionally he's kind of in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, he's the kind of character who would just kind of be like, that's for land dwellers.
Yeah, he's a bit insular. He thinks it's cute that our little 30% of the world has problems. It's adorable.
Yeah. we are a third world country to Aquaman. All land dwellers.
Our entire
they're up there starving, sticking sticks through their noses. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, anyway, where's my seahorse?
The only thing he understands about land civilization in any way is tattoos. He does relate on the tattoos, but short of that and the lumber sexual fad, he's a little behind what we're up to.
I wonder if those tattoos are made with octopus ink.
Right. And traditionally,
maybe
Aquaman
they're just watercolor.
A lot of great villains. Right, yeah. No, it's it's a daily process applying that much henna.
Right.
It takes up a majority of their day just tattooing themselves properly. But their worst villain is Black Manta, so, you know, not a lot on their plate.
I wonder if they're just going to call him Manta.
Just Manta.
Some executive producer is like, that's kind of racist now. Oh. Was he black? Yeah.
I don't know. He's in a helmet. I've never seen. He's just... You know,
we can't recast him. No. they're scuttling trying to get around the the controversy before it starts.
They would. Those detached weirdos.
Alright, so there's a big rumor. I don't know if it's true. Lex Luthor wore suit to appear in Batman vs. Superman. This Luthor kid. And I do say kid and mean that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is Jesse Eisenberg playing him. Mm-hmm. He's been busy. If he's making clones of Zod and building a kryptonite suit. And they're straight up saying, like,
not on his laurels, that one.
This is the purple and green Lex Luthor war suit.
Well, he is, as he describes himself in a few books, a 12th level intellect. I don't know what that means. I'm not a 12th level intellect, and therefore may not be able to understand the term. But I understand that he has major smarts.
He made it up. That's
probably. But Luther's smart enough that he could make up a term like that, and we'd all believe it was a real thing by the time he was done.
Well, yeah, he's walking around in a green and purple suit, powered by kryptonite. Why wouldn't we believe it? We're like, yep, I don't know how to make that.
I don't know how to make that. And
I'm going to go watch Dancing with the Stars.
He designs his stuff with such relative ease. It makes it sound like he took a long bath and banged out the basic technical design in his head while he was soaking.
And dude, I feel
hopped
like
out
I feel
fresh
like
and soapy and ready to build.
I feel like someone somewhere midway through shooting went, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we had an Iron Man, but he was evil? What do we have like that? Lex Luthor's war suit. That is what I feel like happened. if this is
I
a real thing.
Was on the Iron Man stuff. Well, they've got a guy.
Oh, man, he's even got a green arc reactor. Is that what that thing was called? I just thought it was like shiny hole in chest.
Right. Now, by the way, we noticed that, and by the way, Eisenberg's shot, his little his little headshot of him bald as Luthor. Oh, that looks great. Looks great.
It does.
He's got a very menacing tone on his face. It's fantastic. I'm looking forward to that. But he is bald, so I'm wondering if at some point in this version of Luthor's past, he worked on an oil rig, and maybe when Superman set it on fire, it balded him. That way we can keep the old concept.
You know, hope not.
He was just a high-level executive out to inspect that day. And
I'm okay with never having to actually explain why he's bald.
No, I mean, people can just, you know, shave their heads and not have to have an entire backstory.
Right. Well, what always bothered me, I mean, in this picture of Eisenberg as Luthor, you can actually see, like, the buds of hair. And you could on Rosenbaum as well in Smallville. And he was like, oh, well, when I, you know, the meteor went over my head and made me bald and I've never been able to grow hair, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I can see your hair.
They always use
I
that.
I can
like,
see.
What is the stat? Like a third of men or something? It's something pretty large. Have balding issues. And a very small amount of those people end up being megalomaniacal supervillains.
I don't know, man. I'm getting a little thin. I'm starting to feel pretty evil.
Starting to feel evilish? Like
Yeah, I've got a lot of bitter rage for the world now.
Have you all you're waiting on is that inspiration from a super creature somewhere that you could.
Well, I'm not a level 12 intellect, so there's only so much I can do with it.
Yeah, up until at least level 8, you don't really experience extreme rage.
I can unleash a podcast onto the world, but that's about it.
That only requires like a level 2 intellect. There's some variety of fern and slug that could produce a podcast.
I'm not saying I'm a level anything intellect. I prefer to keep my intellect secret.
We do not deign to compare ourselves with Luthor.
Well, we would be fools too.
It would be foolish. It would.
We've got Phil Lord talking about how The Flash, starring Ezra Miller. Now this is, he believes, and this is the fact that he says he believes.
Scary, right? I read that clip.
Yeah, he believes.
He qualified
that Louis Barry,
everything.
He did. He qualified every damn thing he could. He believes it'll be a standalone film. He believes it'll be Barry Allen.
That was my favorite. He believes it will be Barry Allen.
And he says he thinks they're doing a pretty good job of making it its own thing, aside from the Flash series. But it'll also kind of stand apart from the rest of the DC Cinematic Universe. It'll be a part of it, but not like a big thread in it. So I don't really understand what the point is. Like, I really don't. you got Grant Gustin, who's killing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what their idea is here. I really don't. I don't. Moving on.
I could get it if you're a writer, you're a producer, whatever your role is in this whole thing. You want to make your own contribution. So you, as he kept calling it, carve out your own space. You know, man, good for mm-hmm. you. But make it work. Make it work. And Gustin and Co. have set the bar pretty high. It wouldn't hurt you much if you decided you wanted to make it Wally West on film instead. Something. Anything. If you want to really set yourself apart, how many flashes do you have to choose from?
Well, they can't. It's going to be... You know what? I would be okay with them making it Jay... They should make it a period piece and make it Jay Garrick.
That'd be fine. Although you get the feeling that Rip Hunter and Co. are about to explore Jay Garrick a little bit over at Legends. At the very least, I think one of the time-jumpy episodes will probably be a Garrick flashback. At the very least.
Yeah. So apparently, Wonder Woman is hundreds of years old in Batman vs. Superman.
Good.
She's not thousands of years old. And she's not 23.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get behind this new 52 version of it. I haven't fully wrapped my head around that idea that there's a, she every time I've seen her portrayed for this, she's bestial. She's just a rogue maniac with a really sharp sword.
Have you kept up with Convergence at all?
I have not.
It looks like Convergence number 8 is going to be like the main ending to that story. And I haven't kept up with it like meticulously to any degree, but it really looks like they've already announced that they're going to be done with the new 52, and that they're pushing more toward character stories. But just looking very briefly into Convergence, it looks like they are going to be picking and choosing from the previous universe in the new 52 and replacing things. I don't think the new 52 has been critically quite the hit they thought it was going to be, and it's painted them into some corners. And everyone's kind of like getting over that and going, well, we kind of missed the old universe.
If anyone's about 20 years older than me, so I'd say around 45, 50-ish, and you feel this creeping suspicion that you've been through this before, it was called Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And it came about in a very similar way. Oops, what have we done? How can we fix this? I know.
And here's the funniest part. Scott Lobdell, he's the cat writing this thing, and he's got a pretty good ear for dialogue and like character interplay. They actually have a bit where like Parallax is talking about, he's got some massive plan. He's talking about reality bending and whatnot. Mm. And another character just kind of goes, Parallax, we don't want another 0 hour.
And with that lantern firmly in place, they carried on with the rest of the series.
The line alone made me want to actually go back and read Convergence. I'll never get to it, but there's just too much.
I'll get to it. It was impossible. You couldn't get on Hulu at any point during the last, say, year and not just have a backlog of superhero crap you needed to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what real drama is like anymore. I don't understand. I've tried to watch a couple of shows that other people were interested in, like Parenthood or something. Even with Game of Thrones, I keep thinking like, well, I mean, why there should be more capes. And there's a certain amount of capes in Games of Thrones. Game of Thrones. So you'd think it would help me? No.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'll be watching in a regular drama situation. At any point, I'm just wondering why someone doesn't burst through a wall and solve everyone's problems with violence. Sweet, sweet, lovely violence.
I don't want to see these normal people solving problems.
Yeah, and people at this point that, you know, if I've sat down to actually watch a regular show with other people, it'll be a real dramatic scene, and there'll be crying, and whatever's happening, and someone's been shot, I'm sure, and every now and then I'll just look at him and go, you know what, fix this. Batman.
Yeah.
That doesn't go well. I get kicked out of a lot of rooms.
Let's pop over to TV, I guess. Man, it looks like Grant Gustin has let us in on the fact that, yeah, there might be a little bit of, you know, he says, I think we're going to start showing Earth 1 and Earth 2 in the near future.
Fitting, by the way. I had it had slipped my mind. But think about it. Go back all the way to God, when was it? 40s? 60s? I don't remember. Mm-hmm.
40s. Yeah.
The Flash was where multiverses started to begin with. Seems perfectly fitting to let him start it this time.
We're going to shift over to Arrow real quick because mm-hmm. Mark Guggenheim, one of the executive producers, is saying that Arrow is going to take a lighter tone.
Woo!
He does promise that there won't be a dramatic change despite the tonal shift. It's going to have a little bit more humor, a little bit more lightness.
I'm hoping every scene is a little bit like it was this season, so it's I think it was about mid-season when they crossed over. It was the uh-huh. Captain Boomerang run. Diggle yeah. seeing the Flash for the first time and just spills fries everywhere. He looks like a child about to urinate himself. It was absolutely hilarious. It was hilarious. And it was kind mm-hmm. of it took a minute. It took me a minute to even realize that they were just going to be funny, and that was all there was to it. Because on Arrow, you're used to, you know, if somebody's funny for a second, like, I thought, a Leagues of Assassin member was going to run Diggle through from the back while he was laughing. I guess he never laughed. But still, you can't take anything lightly there, because it always ends up coming back on Oliver, or somebody dies, or blah, 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 blah. Just, it'd be nice to actually be able to have some stories where we could just enjoy the humor and go. And they've set it up well. It's due. They're ready, and you can tell from the way they're talking. I've seen Amell and Guggenheim both use the word series finale at this point. They are ready to go make a different show, and good for them.
You know,
that is brave, guys. Good for you.
Stephen Amell, he says Arrow is done. No more Arrow suit. I've worn it for the last time.
Seriously, which Legends of Tomorrow trailer?
Well, he says it's. He does say that Oliver will be joining the Peace Corps, and more likely that he'll be receiving a new costume and perhaps a new longer name.
Yeah, they teased the longer name thing. That was funny.
Yeah, I wonder what that name could be. I don't know. Not like he's based on a character that we should know or something.
No, probably something obscure and impossible like the Guardian.
All right, man. Let's talk about this Flash finale.
I got one more thing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Supergirl has leaked online.
Supergirl has leaked online.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot?
The pilot.
All right. What are people saying? I haven't heard this.
Well, it only happened this morning. I mean, this is... it was, you know, Saturday morning around 2 in the morning that this thing leaked, and... It's still just disseminating itself.
How would one acquire such a thing?
By watching it after downloading it illegally.
Oh. Oh. Well, I mean, what are they saying on... Has anyone posted a review or anything?
Not one review that I've seen so far. It's out there, and everyone seems a little stunned, and literally, we're talking about Saturday at 2 in the morning. Anyone who was up and downloaded that and watched it, which, by the way, was apparently a 1080 cut of it, with no water
watch.
Wow. Anyone who was awake at 2 in the morning to catch that is just now waking up to maybe write a review somewhere.
Right.
It's a full 12 hours after this has hit the net, so... Mm-hmm. And anyone else is... You know, it's Saturday on Memorial Day weekend. Hey, life still happens, even when Supergirl gets leaked.
You know, I don't believe this is a leak. I believe this is purposeful. But they did the same thing with The Flash. It got leaked, and it's like more successful than Arrow. Is a powerhouse for CW.
I don't know. I've never been able to figure out how it would actually benefit a company to leak it in such a manner.
Because it makes there are a certain amount of people on the internet, and I know from marketing YouTube videos and whatnot, there's a certain audience on the internet. Who detests anything honest? Anything honest, they detest it. If they can get it illegally, that's the version I want because because they didn't want it. The CBS didn't want it to be leaked, so we're gonna watch it to screw them.
Gotcha.
It's a certain mentality. Like, if CBS came out and said, by the way, we're just going to release the pilot early, they would be like, they have no faith in this show. They're trying to amp up, you know, they're trying to amp up excitement 6 months early. God, all they do is just kind of try to shove superheroes down my throat. But if it's illegal, if they didn't want it leaked,
now
suddenly there's an air of mystery to it. Like, oh man, yeah, they have one of us in their camp. The mainstream generally doesn't care, I don't think, or even notices when anything is leaked. It's just these skeevy weirdos online.
I know.
Like, it's just a certain crowd.
The only
crowd
angle I can
even
see is people get so worked up about retention rates between the first episode and the second episode. If you used a pilot to leak off some of your views on the first episode so it didn't have as much of a gap between the first and second.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty.
And I believe that's
clever.
A real thing.
Pretty
I believe that's
clever.
A real thing, man. I mean, we may, you know, might be wrong. Maybe they didn't want that leaked yet, but I think it got probably a pretty solid reception in the trailer, so they decided to leak it.
And it did. It had a really good reception in the trailer, especially at the upfronts. They were really pumped about this.
Yeah. Anyway, Flash finale, season 1, episode 23, Fast Enough. Was it fast enough for you, Jason?
It was, and he was. Except when it dutifully slowed down so that everyone could cry at each other.
Right.
I've specifically used the phrase, you know, over exposition of other of each other's feelings. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of that, man. This was well done emotional content. This was just plain good. Just plain good. Hey, every time Barry sits down to talk to a father figure, I have to check the room to make sure I have tissues available just in case they've decided to pull one on me here.
Yeah. Hey, oddly enough.
His dad. Oh, man.
Yeah, oddly enough, I didn't have the emotional reaction I wanted to with Barry and his legitimate father.
Mm-hmm.
His, you know, John Wesley Shipp goes on, oh, your mother wouldn't want you to do this because you might not be the man that blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, we know he's going to do it, so screw you. Like, why?
Oh, man. I can get behind that completely. I can get behind that completely. It was, it all stayed true to the characters as they actually are too, because masochistically it seemed it a couple times.
I wouldn't argue that it didn't stay true to the characters. It was just it didn't hit me on an emotional level. Like that seemed very rote to me. That was very by the book.
Okay, that was it. What got me was, and it's one little shot of Gustin kind of crumpling into the phone after he says that. That was just if I was the kind of person who slow clapped at things, I would have had to give Gustin a slow clap on that one. Good job, man.
As much as I like John Wesley Shipp, he pales in comparison to Joe.
Yeah. It's like, Jesse L. Martin, right? That's his name?
Yeah. Yeah, that's his... Yeah.
That
dude
another
could
one
freaking
of those
act,
he has
man.
Killed it. All season, he has just killed it. There haven't been a lot of scenes.
With the oddest choices.
He does. I'm not sure if they're in the script or if he's just doing this, and I'd love to know, just so I know who to give credit to. But some of the scenes he's done, two of my favorites are three even. All right, so Grodd, that whole scene,
mm-hmm.
which, as you pointed out, must in real life have been just him staring down the gullet of like a mocap styrofoamed ball on the end of a broomstick.
Right.
But man, I bought it. I bought it.
I did too.
And
he was amazing.
Killed it. Everything he's done with in the latter part of the season with him, you know, with him and Barry's relationship has just been spot on. Dude looks like he mm-hmm. is always just one false word away from having a real cry, and
mm-hmm.
I'm loving it. I'm loving the fact that the show has a heart because of this man's face. At any given time, you can just relate to the show on a very human level because Joe.
Yeah.
It's Gods and Monsters all day, but there's Joe.
Yeah.
And then let's not forget the way he reacted when the Flash showed him his voice. Actually did the voice modulation he can do with his, you know.
Yeah, just outright giggling. Just
yeah, it was childlike
over the top
joy.
Giggling. Childlike joy, yes. Right. Exactly. And that, man, I mean,
which
not
is
even
real
that,
stuff, like, because if somebody I knew told me they could do that kind of crap, I would giggle like a child for an hour.
I've heard you giggle like that.
For an hour.
Not that long, though.
Well, I've never been shown a superpower. Show me a superpower, sir, and I'll giggle for an hour.
Yeah, I probably would, too.
And regret nothing. Well spent hour.
So, I felt like the finale, like, I'm kind of torn, because while I thought it was well-paced, at the same time, I did think that Barry hummed and hawed quite a bit. It makes sense for the character, because if any one of us had the same choice, I mean, hell, he made that decision in, what, like a day? We would probably put it off for weeks.
Seriously, and, you know, we're talking about he's got maybe a day to deal with it. I've gone through that much emotional back and forth about which 6-inch subway I want. To be fair to him,
I had the same problem like 2 days ago, literally, at Subway.
That menu is submersive at times.
I'm wringing my hands over a meatball sub.
Not even the, you know, possible destruction of the universe. So, yeah, I mean, right. taking a day to think deeply about it and consulting with some trusted authorities in your life and loved ones, you know, that qualifies easily as manning up, as far as I could tell.
Right.
I
mean,
worries.
You know, I give it to him, but, you know, it's as a viewer and as one who is obviously well-versed in these matters, in the matters of the procedural.
Yeah.
And knowing that he had to do it for the sake of the story, is a little tedious. There was a lot of emotional impact on this show. I mean, even
there
discounting
was.
The John Wesley ship, I mean, if that got you, that got you. But nothing got me so much as...
It could have been a mediocre scene. Gustin just gave it absolute life. Plus, and I'm...
He did.
John Wesley does a fine job of getting you into a scene. This is, I mean, it's a good cast. It is. It really
well,
is. I haven't, there's not
John
a point
Wesley
where I can
Shipp.
Look at any one person and go, yeah, you failed this. You failed this show. No.
I will say this about John Wesley Shipp and about, what was his name? Martin? What's his name?
Jesse L. Martin.
Jesse L. Martin. I don't know why I can't remember that cat's name.
I only remember it because it's the end title card most of the time.
They can breathe the most life into the worst scripts.
I can't tell you how many Law and Orders I've watched just because that man was compelling.
He is. He is.
And it's a Law and Order. You know by the end of the first 5 minutes who done it. You're just
pretty
watching
much,
because
yeah.
He's cool.
Yeah. The bit where Barry says goodbye to everyone.
Great stuff.
And calls Joe dad.
Yeah.
I openly wept.
That'll pull a
string. And by openly, I meant I was sitting in a very small room closed off. By myself.
By openly wept, you mean quietly whimpered.
Well, yeah.
That's
but
how
tears
men openly weep. Quietly whimper to ourselves alone.
Yeah. We we quietly sob.
Right.
And the bit where he actually
but
has to say
goodbye
to his
mother. Which qualifies as an outpouring of emotion on par to losing a family member.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the bit where he actually has to say goodbye to his mother, like, but there's just so much. Like he gets to the past and he sees future self.
Yeah.
Shake his head no, like nah, man, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a paradox upon paradox upon paradox because I wonder if that version of the character actually had gone back and saved her, experienced the Flashpoint paradox, undid that, and now is fighting Reverse Flash and sees his former self and goes, nah, man. Like, this is just, this could be layered in ways that we didn't really think they were going to tackle on this show.
If
it's
they
a
go
CW
back for
show.
It and put in that extra wrinkle, I'll be fine. I was happy this time, just watching it on this viewing, I was happy to explain it as, you know, your dad told you that you've done, he's explained that you do too much good as the man you are today, which is the reason he's happy to sit in a jail cell, because he knows what he's contributing to.
Right.
So that thought being in his head when he sees his future self, and come on, he's got a minute and 52 seconds to get all that done. You don't have a lot of time to hem and haw about it. You've a split second decision. You were already questioning yourself. I can buy that he just looks at future version of himself and has to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Just has to. And hey, well, you're already there. You might as well go say goodbye to your mom. Which again, okay, whoever she is, great job.
Yeah, she did a fine job. I don't know the actress's name, but she did a really, really nice job. Yeah, I mean, if you place yourself in those shoes, though, let's say you go back in time, there's a version of yourself that's from the future there, from your future, but you're both in the past, and that cat tells you don't change anything, don't do it. I'll be damned. I'm going to listen to future Dave.
Seriously. I mean, if I was walking down the street right now on my way to make a series of poor decisions, and future me pulls up in a Corvette and a $6,000 suit and says, you need to turn back to your home right now. I'm going back. I don't care how much I wanted a Twix bar or whatever it was I was on the way to get. I'm going back.
Right. Now, when he's in the wormhole and he sees the future, we get Caitlin Snow, first appearance of Caitlin Snow as Killer Frost, very briefly.
Mm-hmm. She's going to be a glimpse, lot of fun, too.
We get a glimpse of the Flash Museum.
Oh, yes. The source of a wonderful amount of tales to come.
Also of note, and possibly my favorite scene out of the entire finale, that wasn't just pure visceral emotion, the Jay Garrick helmet flying through the wormhole.
Yeah, in case the show had taken itself too seriously, the Jay Garrick helmet popping out of there, and then that's my cue to go, and that's my cue.
What the hell is that? Yes. That's my cue.
That is, yeah, that was fantastic.
It overjoys me, like the look, and Tom Cavanaugh is such a wonderful actor.
Like, yeah, I've enjoyed him.
Between him and Jesse L. Martin, really, they've kicked that show up a notch.
Classed it the hell up, didn't they?
They really did. Just the nuance in his face when he sees that Garrick helmet and is posed the question, what the hell is that? It's like, I might be a match for Barry, but not two.
Yeah.
Not two Flash.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about in the first of the show, if either one of them was able to actually defeat the other, this whole thing would have never happened. Because if in the future, whatever it is that happens in the future, if one of them was an overmatch for the other, we wouldn't be here. But he specifically says neither one of us could beat each other. Yeah, imagine if you had two flashes at your disposal.
Yeah, Eddie's sacrifice.
How'd
you feel?
Pretty great. I honestly didn't see it coming. I was in the middle of all that. I was in the middle of all that emotion, and I heard a gunshot and thought, oh. Yeah. And Eddie's been one of those characters that hasn't had a real purpose. I mean, Stein as much as outlies his entire character arc for season one when he's talking to him. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty deft description of just how useless he's been. And tease him up quite useless. Nicely to make a powerful choice, and he does.
He is useless. I felt like the writers might be trying to get rid of him. He might be back. I don't know.
Apparently not. I mean, I specifically read about stuff about it, and you know, they didn't know what they were going to do with him. You know, until they figured it out, and that was, you know, the season had already started. They're already in production because that's just how these things work.
Well, then I call lazy writing. I call lazy writing then, because if they don't know what they're going to do with him and they don't have a good reason to get him. Like, they could have easily had him say, like, after he talks to Stein, he could have said, oh, okay, well, then I'm going to leave town. And they're like, why? He's like, well, I'm going to go get a real quick vasectomy and stay out of history's way.
And whatever happens today won't matter.
Was there really a call for suicide?
We could just as easily have looked over and he's putting on priest's clothing.
Right.
Or he's filling out an application to a monastery somewhere.
I mean, you know, there. I know how comic books and television work, so much so that I apply those same rules in my life to great failure. But
because life,
I would be going and getting a vasectomy, and you know, calling Iris and being like, "Hey, did it work? Did it?" There is the reverse flash. Okay, he's still there. Something's happening. Okay, so he's breaking up. Cool. All right, cool. Didn't need to kill myself.
Gotcha. I would like to assume that as long as he was still alive in any capacity, that hell,
there was still clones, a chance.
Yeah, I mean, you can, right. You could. That, and we're just talking saying, about give Wells or you know, Ibar
give
Thon,
a vasectomy
I mean,
a shot.
I guess, at this
That's
point,
all I'm saying.
Officially, really, this is a clever dude. As long as you have working DNA, I'm willing to assume that however many years in the future he is, he's figured out how to clone you at least. Continue the line.
But see, even that, like, I mean, I'm sure Thon will be back. I'm sure he will be back. Yes, we saw
well,
a body.
I mean, they want to bring him back a little bit. They liked the guy. This was, he was mm-hmm. well-loved on the set. They didn't mm-hmm. want to kill him, but it was the best decision for his character. And I gotta admit, it made him meaningful.
Yeah.
It did. It gave him power among gods. It was, it's a nice moment when you can get a human into a situation where he has that much effect on
yeah,
a situation
I mean,
like this.
I, you know, I don't blame him. I liked Looper too, but right. You know, it's whatever. I'm fine with Eddie being gone though. I really am. I mean, it seems like there were easier choices to make.
That's a good bow out.
Killing oneself, but
it was a good bow out. It really was.
Now, did you tell me that you actually read that Tom Cavanaugh is coming back?
Yeah. They've officially, well, at least in interviews, they've said that, you know, Cavanaugh will be back. I cannot remember if they said that he'll be back as the Reverse Flash or if he's coming back as Harrison Wells proper before he got thawned.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
any of these are possible.
The rules of time travel would seem to indicate that it would probably be Harrison Wells proper. And if we could actually just get Tom Cavanaugh as the real Harrison Wells and just kind of keep him around.
Yeah, I would love it if Harrison Wells proper was the one who came back and started, you know, rebuilding the team at Star Labs.
Yeah.
And you get to see him meeting, you know, Cisco and Caitlin for the first time, which for mm-hmm. him, that would be pretty much what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I remember correctly, he's been Eobard in disguise the entire time he's been building this reactor.
Yeah.
So
he has.
You get to see them doing some team-building exercises. You get to see Wells, who at this point would just be a human that's amazed by what he's got on his plate. You get to see
right.
him dealing with, you know, we don't... There hasn't been any... Other than her in that suit, there hasn't been any indication that we're going to get to Killer Frost, or how, at least, we're going to transition over to that.
Oh, I think yeah. I just read that Killer Frost was coming soon.
Oh, I know she's coming soon. I mean, they've already got
season two.
Yeah, no, she's slated. I just don't know exactly. I don't know what they're going to do to write her in exactly. I mean, Cisco though, we got a glimpse at. And oh man, they chose their wording carefully. He can see.
Oh,
he can see the vibrations through the universe, right?
Yeah, and you know, I love Tom Cavanaugh so much. Just you see the cogs working in this man as he's talking to Cisco on this like just twisted father son relationship.
Yeah,
I just love the whole damn thing. Just
yeah, he's
and
done,
Cisco
he's
is one of those characters.
That.
Cisco is one of those characters that I thought I was going to hate.
I when, did. When I had first... active concerns about this. It was that goofy smile. It was the one-liners. The little quips weren't working for me, and I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think it might have just been the transition tonally from Arrow to Flash, because that's where we got to know him a little bit. And I don't know what it was, but I wasn't looking forward to it. And then somewhere around it felt like maybe episode 4 or 5. I just dug in and started really liking this guy.
He had an amazing air of being 90s TV show sidekick.
Yes, he did. He very much did.
Long,
he felt like he
long
was completely
hair,
disposable.
Long hair, flannel shirt, t-shirt underneath, looked like, you know, a Kurt Cobain fan.
Always
you know,
sipping
the,
on a soda that was perpetually going out. He was always
yeah.
at the bottom, the slurpy portion of soda.
Yeah, exactly. Khaki shorts, you know? Like, he just
yeah.
seemed like he was just the nerdy kid who's a friend of a superhero.
Right.
Or the lead character, whatever. But he surprised me because they actually gave the character a lot of depth and a lot of really fun things to play with.
They did, and once he started getting into having his own scenes, I started trusting him. As you know, I started trusting the actor a lot, which that's just I guess it's just part of the process of getting to love a character. But at some point, yeah, I lost all of that melted away, and I just liked the guy, just plain liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he's actually throwing some punches with Pied Piper, I was outright interested.
I mean, aside from the exploration of superpowers, I'd say get him a haircut. Otherwise, I'm good. Like, the hair's a little annoying for me. I don't know why.
It is a little. I don't know either.
It
really
bothers me. It makes his face look, I think, fatter than it is, or weirder. I don't know what the problem is with his face. Something's weird about
it. I'm not a stylist, damn it. I just know it doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right. But
something
I like
about
the guy.
Is off.
I like the guy.
The hair.
Actively...
He's going to be vibe. Who cares? You can put him in a... You can go pull a few of the old Saved by the Bell costume changes, and I'll still watch him if he's a vibe.
Right.
Now, and the reason I've been excited about him the whole time, and even when I was getting... all of the concerns about him I had early on aside, I was still thinking, come on, it's Cisco Ramon. This has to go well at some point.
Yeah.
And the most interesting part about it is... in the giant pseudo-scientific realm of explanations that are proffered for superheroes, the Flash's speed can be interrupted by a physical gap between one place and the next, and Vibe can create such a gap that he can stop the Flash dead in his tracks. He's one of the only people that on record that can just plain shut him down when he wants to.
Yeah.
And there really aren't a lot of those people. I mean...
Oh, I really loved the circular part from the pilot where Wells tells him, run, Barry, run, with completely different tone.
Yeah, yeah.
I really love that. Like, that...
The callback
of it. I
love
Tom Cavanaugh. I just really love Tom Cavanaugh. That's all it comes down to, really.
No, he's killed it. That'll be one of my... I haven't heard that
and
he
I will,
was fine
I will
stretch,
very
like,
much...
signed on for season two. I know he's signed up to do something, and I hope it's as much as possible. I really do. I'd love to see him just playing as Harrison Wells, but if he's doing Eobard the entire time, he's so good at showing that conflict that I'm up for it. I mean, I'll take more Reverse Flash. One day I might even get used to the name Reverse Flash. So stupid.
Well, it's better than any other options, really. I mean, Yellow Flash.
Yellow Flash would have been fine. Also fast.
Banana
food.
Flash.
There we go.
Banana Flash.
Banana Flash. Sounds like an exhibitionist that lives near the Santa Monica Pier.
I really want him to be called Banana Flash now.
You can't do that. You're not allowed. You're not allowed. That has been forbidden.
I don't know why he couldn't have just... I mean, is Reverse Flash... Is that worse than Professor Zoom?
No, it's not. It's not worse, nor is it better. There's so many amazing characters in the DC universe that just have some of the worst names I've ever heard of.
My favorite being Crazy Quilt, but
Crazy Quilt was one of the best.
Well, in real life, if a number of us had superpowers, I imagine we would come up with some. Well, first of all, we would be coming up with code names. We are no different than Cisco Ramon. We would be coming up with code names. Cisco
absolutely.
Was us. And that's,
I
that
would
may
be
have been our
proudly
problem.
Labeling the file folders with the name I had chosen for each guy and giggling to myself as I did it. Just...
But some of them, you can't be, on spec every time. Like, some of them would be a little off. Some of them would not be. Like, Golden Glider. Come on. That wasn't great. But Captain Cold, that's a winner.
Heat wave winner. Now I will be curious, speaking of him and Golden Glider, do we want to see more of him and Golden Glider?
More of Cisco and Golden Glider?
Yeah. It's a great moment where he says like some days it's really hard to be a good guy or something like that.
Yeah. I in that case I would think that, and they might play with it a little and kind of, have a bit where Cisco is so distraught over his mentor being an evil supervillain that he actually does kind of cross over to the dark side. But at the end of the day, I don't think that relationship would stand in any real workable sense, unless Golden Glider kind of thought, you know what, my brother's a dick, and I'm maybe Cisco's teaching me how to be a better person. Like, Golden Glider would have to actually be the one to change overall if they were to really go down that path. I don't really have I don't have a great desire to see it.
I could go without it. I like the quips. I like it being a cute thing.
I don't really care for the character the character or the actress playing her.
I've seen her do on Tomorrow People. She has range. They haven't allowed her any here. She's got a very short leash on the Flash.
I've never seen her before.
Right now,
so.
She's characterized as just kind of a strange nymphy creature. It's a very static character. I don't know what to do with it.
They haven't given her, or she doesn't possess. And I can't decide which, because she hasn't been given a whole lot to do. You're right, but she doesn't have the presence of even, say, what was her name? Aphrodite on the arrow?
Oh, Cupid.
Cupid, that was it. Cupid. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, she doesn't even have a fraction of the pull that Cupid does. Like, she's a much more interesting and fun character, and it seems like so far Golden Glider is just sort of that kind of character. Like, she's obviously a psychopath,
right?
Bad girl. Let me throw in some quips here because I'm so bad. It's so right. Flirtatious and blah blah blah.
Just overly flirty and strange.
Yeah. Just off-putting in how flirty she is.
Flirty.
Be a person.
Truly over flirty to the point where when you have someone in real life that acts like that, you choose to spend time away from that person as immediately as possible.
Yeah,
it's not an attractive thing. It's just not. I could deal without that. Plus, Cisco going bad. That's just, it's not right. He's a puppy. He's got the heart of a Labrador. No way.
At this point, I wouldn't.
Star Labs crumbled around him, and he was still a good dude. Period.
And I would guess that after, he was so hurt, so visibly hurt that that Wells had betrayed him in this way.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it happening. I could see some, maturation of Cisco realizing, going a bit to the Oliver side, realizing that sometimes to do the right thing, you have to do the wrong thing, blah, blah, blah. But...
Nah, that's not him. He's the guy who would come back and say, you can't do the wrong thing no matter what. He's got the moral code deeply ingrained in him.
Now, I remember there were three
he'll be betrayed further is what we have ahead of us. So he'll be betrayed further is what we have ahead of us.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll finally be it. Maybe that's the, screw you guys moment.
Right. Now, is Killer, I think there was one good Killer Frost and two bad Killer Frosts. Now, I don't remember which one was which, because there were three or four of them. And
yeah,
Caitlin Snow was the one that had been... Caitlin Snow had been the one that was the least utilized the last time I looked.
Well, she was the one, though, that actually did marry or was interested in Ronnie Raymond. And she is, she's a heat vampire. So, hooking up with a guy named Firestorm seems like a pretty equitable way to go.
Right.
Firestorm doesn't even have a fuel source. He's just constantly changing cells into other forms. He's fine.
I would be really okay if her version of Killer Frost wasn't a bad guy. If she wasn't a villain, I would be okay with that. If we just had a show with three superheroes running around,
four,
wouldn't hurt me a bit.
I got my money on anti-hero, though. I've got my money on major villain story arc for her for just a second, at least.
All right, yeah. I mean, that might be true. That might be
probably
workable.
Season two. Probably betrays her, and hey, wouldn't it just be nice if Vibe's the one who stops her because Cisco finally gets hold of his powers?
I'm excited for season two. I really am. My name is Oliver Queen. We touched on it last week. Let's dive in. What you got?
Couldn't be happier for Felicity. Let me put it this way. She hasn't been one of those cheap characters. There's nothing cheap about
how her affections for Oliver have developed over time. I mean, they've just been colleagues, and then it's just been quietly sitting there in the background, and they haven't. And I'm not annoyed, because it's not like they've been teasing me for three seasons about him and Felicity hooking up. They've only really teased it for about a season. The rest of the time, it's been, you know, him and Laurel, or him and Sarah, or him and Huntress there for a second. Their relationship has been well earned, and it's been actually rewarding to see them have at least one happy moment here. And that, you know, as they keep saying, they're using the phrase series finale. If they came back and rebranded the show The Green Arrow, we've talked about that, wouldn't be, not only is it not insane, kind of maybe, maybe clever.
Yeah, I would be down for that.
But they're obviously, they've driven off into the sunset like he dreamed about, and they're gonna come back at some point. We don't know exactly what's gonna go on, but mm-hmm. You know, I don't think they're driving off into a dark path. They're just actually gonna go on vacation, and you know, good for those two kids. They're gonna go make a beach somewhere even more attractive.
I'll say this: I was always okay with Felicity thinking Oliver is hot. I am a straight dude, and I think Oliver is really hot. That part didn't bother me. What bothered me was when we get to the end of season two and he, you know, pretends to be in love with Felicity and to trick Slade or whatever. And then, oh, well, we're not really tricking anyone because we do feel this way. That felt unearned.
That one did, I admit. That one actually was.
That felt unearned. So as
that
much
was a kick
annoyance...
in the face. Felt we, about as straightforward as anything else in season two, but...
So the season three reveal that they're together, or thinking about being together, and then he, you know, kisses her and tells her he can't be, you know, with her if he's the Arrow. Yes, he shouldn't have kissed her. That was a dick move. We talked about that. Not that on was. The show, but in our ongoing
in
pathetic lives.
In our deeply
lives.
Interesting personal lives, we discussed
that. But... it never felt earned to me. Even, like, Oliver and Felicity going, like, riding off into the sunset never really felt earned. And it never felt earned to me because we had a situation where, like, suddenly unearned interest. Then we have Oliver turning right the hell around and saying, well, I can't be with you because I'm the Arrow. And an entire season of events that pushed them further apart. I'm not sure I can forgive Felicity for breaking Ray's heart. I like Ray.
That's my least favorite part about it is
I like Ray more than Oliver, I think.
Yeah, he's a lot more fun by every measure. He's just been a lot more fun to have on screen.
I was really hoping when they started teasing the Ray Felicity thing that, oh good, we're gonna jump right the hell over this ill-advised Oliver Felicity BS, but man, did they screw the pooch on that one?
I always knew it was going that way, so I wasn't really.
You know how sometimes you know, but you just hold out hope anyway that they're just going to be like,
sure.
We're going to find this awesome guy who's basically, you know, nice Tony Stark.
Yeah. And like a boyish charm to him that's you know, not a booze-induced charade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been fun. And, come on, though. It was hard not to see the news and know that Ray and Felicity weren't going to work. Because as soon as you knew the Atom was moving over to another show, you knew that was doomed. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason, like, when Felicity and Barry were kind of flirty there for a second. Yeah, they would have been an adorable little couple, but, eh. So, aside from that, though, like, the Felicity, Oliver, or what, I think someone, I saw it described as Olicity somewhere. I'd never actually heard that term before, but it made me laugh.
I'm on Tumblr, so, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. I was happy for them. I'm okay with that ending. And specifically, I'm okay with that ending because it takes two of the core members of the Team Arrow kind of atmosphere. I mean, you got Oliver, you got John, and you've got Felicity. And those three are the core. So,
mm-hmm.
That little handshake with Diggle, I mean, they've got stuff to deal with that's going to come up in season four, and Guggenheim has, you know,
said outright that their beef isn't quite over. They've got stuff to work out, but they're clear. Like, the handshake to me meant, you know, we'll agree loosely to work on this in the future, but for now I'm kind of mad and I'm going to go the other way. Okay, fair enough.
If I was Oliver, I'd be like, John, man, I'm sorry about kidnapping your wife and daughter, but you've given me so much bad advice. Can't we call this even?
Right.
Every week you're telling me you can't tell Thea. She'll hate you forever, Oliver. You can't tell Laura.
Finally
she'll
tell her
hate
she
you
turns
forever,
into
Oliver.
A superhero. What do you want?
I told her, and things were good for the first time in 3 years. Every piece of advice you have given me has been to lie, and that was wrong.
I'm not saying it justifies, you know, kidnapping anybody. Can't we?
You're
call
a bodyguard,
a
not a heart guard.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, leave the hearting to me. I don't think that's a phrase he wants to be able to use. And I will say, here's the big tease, the big thing everyone's focused on. Who's Diggle going to be? I've thought really deep and hard about it, and I cannot be expected to care. The big one is, oh, come on, let him be Jon Stewart. No. Here's the problem. They've retconned Diggle. Well, it's not even retconned. They've just kind of slipped him into the actual comics at this point. So,
yeah,
somewhere in the DC universe, Diggle's an actual person. Well, in that same universe, we already have Jon Stewart. In that same universe, we already have the Guardian. I think they're going to make up somebody new, or come up with somebody that's even more obscure, and someone that doesn't currently have someone, you know, assuming that alias.
Right. Well,
I think they're just going to try to rewrite, you know, Green Arrow's name history, especially that. Jon Stewart's an iconic character. You don't rewrite that name.
Well, they're not going to say, like, look, Jon Stewart's backstory fits John Diggle's very well.
Very well.
We don't know his...
I think that's why people got so excited. Plus, he does look great in those Photoshop pictures of him in the green.
He does. And there's not one... I can't think of another person I would want to have that power ring. I can't. I really can't.
Great.
I would be fine. I don't give a damn if there's a John Diggle in the DC universe now, standing right beside a Jon Stewart. I don't care.
Continuity be damned.
Arrow. The show. No, not continuity be damned, but this is a different continuity. Arrow added the spoke to that wheel, so they decided, oh, he's a big character, he's a popular character, let's go ahead and throw him into the comics because Harley Quinn... Who cares? If they want to make him Jon Stewart, if they want to come out and say, oh, by the way, his middle name is Stewart, I'm good with that. I have no dams to give. I looked everywhere I could. Not a dam
ways.
To spare.
Right. There are ways. There are definitely... Just having those two names already be occupied is child's play to wrapping something up in a comic book universe. It's absolutely possible. And if you know, a couple months
and they're
go
in
by,
convergence
someone
right
finally
now.
Get set footage. Yeah, if we finally get news in a couple months that they're going to do it, that, you know, we finally see him on set and he's in that green outfit or something, I'm down. Do not get
Look,
me twisted, man. I'm in, but I don't think that's what they're going to do.
That is, it might not be what they're going to do. They've talked about it. I know they've talked about it. The actor has said that they have talked about it, actively talked about making him Jon Stewart. He doesn't know if that's
so
what they're going to
at
do.
At this point, he's just laughing.
Right.
All he knows is he's in costume. Oh, and he teased this week that he had just done a 3D scan, so they've whatever he's going to be in is going to be, you know, form-fitting.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And, you know, you have Amel who has said, we sure have mentioned Ferris Air a lot.
Yeah,
how awesome
ML
would it be? Berlanti co-wrote Green Lantern.
Just messing with us because he can.
Well, Berlanti co-wrote Green Lantern. And
yeah.
Even, I think about a year and a half, 2 years ago, said, I still have Ryan Reynolds' phone number around here somewhere. Well, maybe we'll see.
Yeah.
It looks like the same, the Ferris Air signs look the same as they did on Green Lantern. Now, I mean, that might just be Warner Brothers grabbing the Ferris Air and going, we're going to save some money because we didn't make any on Green Lantern.
They might have literally pulled that out of a back alley somewhere. Just a forgotten piece of studio equipment.
But how fun would it be, man, if Greg Berlanti actually managed to have a thing pre-Arrow that was the introduction to the Justice League. His Justice League that was Green Lantern. I would be totally down for that.
Which would qualify as, to rephrase it, take that, Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
We were here first. I mean, and he could.
A cat who is a fine actor, by the way. I have no problems with Ezra Miller.
Let me put it this way. I may have many problems. What is it going to be, like 2018 or something? I don't know. Two or three years from now, I may be sitting here with a number of problems about the Flash movie, but they're probably not going to be Ezra Miller's fault.
Yeah, they're not going to be Ezra Miller's fault. I mean, who can blame the kid? If somebody came to us and said, hey, you want to play the Flash? I'd be like, yes. How are you going to CG out my fat? Would be my only question.
Yeah.
I'm not training for a runner's body. I'm not.
I would even do the training. I would have jogging shoes on before the ink dried.
Right.
I'd be out going. And, you know, no one, no blame, man. He could very easily just hop in and man, it'd be fun to just have Reynolds hop on. Because they did. They've mentioned. They specifically said, you know, we've lost a Ferris Air shut down after we lost a pilot.
Mm-hmm. They did. They did mention that, yeah.
You don't have to be a Deep Track Comics fan to know that was a nod.
Mm-hmm.
A mild cursory glance will get you that one. And yeah, I mean, if they pulled it back in, it'd be hilarious. And come on, I think Green Lantern's like 2019 or something. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna cast Ryan Reynolds. They're just not. They're not gonna try to continue that.
No.
At the very least, it's not in the DNA of a network executive or a WB executives in particular. It's not in their DNA to recast someone to try again at a role that didn't make the money the first time. Period.
Right. And you know, if Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, if he shows up on Arrow and he is not Ryan Reynolds and that continuity is not connected, I'm gonna be a little sad over that.
It would seem like a waste. Now, I don't think Ryan
Reynolds
is
gonna come
back and Dane upon television at any point, but
unless it's Nathan Fillion.
In which case, all is well.
All is forgiven. All is forgiven. But no, I don't think Ryan Reynolds is at a point in his career where he is above television. And the cat honestly seems pretty down for anything. He's doing Deadpool.
No, he is a game dude. He is absolutely... There's a reason. It's people like Fillion and Reynolds. There's a reason fans like him as much. Is because they just have an air of real respect for the material that you can relate to.
And I mean, we're talking about a cat who, at the top of his popularity, which has gone by now, like that, he is not at the top of his game anymore.
No.
At the pinnacle, I mean, he might pull a Robert Downey Jr. and show up in his 40s or something and be really big again, or 50s or something. But, I mean, we're talking about a cat who, at the top of his popularity, like, showed up for, like, 2 5-second cameos in Seth MacFarlane's Ted. He's game.
That is true.
Let's do this.
It'd have to. Now the thing is, you'd have to do it. If you did that scene, it would have to be, even for a cameo, there'd have to be finality to it. Or the entire time, for the rest of the show's run, I'd be wondering, like, come on, can we get him back for a minute? Let's do an episode. Let's do a crossover. I'd be excited about it. Now, if he's gonna come in, let him come in, and you know. Clearly and finally fly back into space to cover a sector or something.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even mind if it was just like... I wouldn't mind if it was like a mid-season finale for Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just do like one big, you know, orgasmic finale for the season. Have a whole arc.
Yeah.
Like just
throw it all in. Now, and for some reason, we're not as annoyed about that throw them all in thing as we are when they do it in the movies. I don't know what that instinct is. Never have fully understood it, but I feel it.
Well, I think because for me anyway, the television division has proven to me that they can do a whole crop of superheroes in an arc and not get too bogged down with it. In the movies, though, there's a tendency to want to cram so much action in. You don't have, you can at least mess with an arc. You have the first part of a season to build up a story. You've already got a through line.
Yeah, you've only got two and a half hours, and you're only going to be able to fit in three, maybe four good arcs there. I can drop in, out of 22, 23 episodes, I can drop in a line on like 3, 6, 8, 13, and then finish it off at 22, and it only takes very little screen time.
Mm-hmm.
But you have so much material through which you can weave things that, yeah, you can fit in whoever you want to.
Yeah.
With Diggle in particular, and this is something, mm-hmm. Who will he be and all that. My money right now is on they don't use an existing character. I think they make up somebody new for him. And because they've done him well, Diggle has actually, he's beloved now in certain groups. He's played well. He's been one of the secret little surprise, well, damn, that went well, kind of upshots of the show. And you know what? You've done that. You've given me like three different shows to play with. You got another one that may or may not be connected. The Berlanti, right. Guggenheim, Kreisberg team, all of them, you've given me so much. You absolutely deserve to be able to write your own character at this point. Write in whoever, make him whoever you feel like being. I got you.
I mean, I'll accept that. It's still Diggle. I enjoy Diggle.
And Diggle as a character has earned the right to do that. So it's not going to feel forced. He can do it.
At the same time, though, I really, like, they might do it. They might make him his own character. Like, I wouldn't put it past them. But there has been so much.
As long as they don't make it like Gravedigger or something.
Gravediggle. There has been so much hype over him being Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
I can, to the point where people are asking about it in interviews.
Several times.
Yes, several times. I would be very surprised if they made him anything other than Jon Stewart, simply for the fact that they know it's going to be a huge fan disappointment if he is anyone other than Jon Stewart.
If they crumple under the weight of that and just decide to do it, yeah, okay.
I wouldn't think less of them for crumpling. I really wouldn't.
No, I really wouldn't. I wouldn't blame them either if they just wanted to make it their own and, you know, hey, it's no reveal if you've been asking for it the whole time kind of thing. That's a pretty reasonable attitude, too, is the old Whedon thing. Don't give them what they want, give them what they need.
Right, but we're not talking about Whedon here. We're talking about Berlanti and Guggenheim.
I know, but it's still a writing philosophy, and that's fine. If they wanted to make sure that they had the edge and come up with something new or even just pull something extremely obscure, at that point, it's, you know, talking about the audience as a whole, it's our fault that we're disappointed. It's not theirs.
What do you think the chances are that Nyssa is going to be beside herself fed up with Malcolm Merlyn being Ra's al Ghul and mm-hmm. actually just throws her pappy right back into a Lazarus pit? He'll come back, he'll be a little more insane, take back the crown.
It would cheapen the story for me a little bit because, you know, you want death to mean something. But it wouldn't hurt my feelings to see Nabels again. He was great.
Yeah, I mean, we have a Lazarus pit. Death, she be cheapened.
Yeah.
That door's open.
That door is
and they don't seem to be worried about
wide
it.
Wide open. But I would be annoyed. I mean, if we went through this huge thing to kill him and then, you know, maybe an episode or two into the next one, we're bringing him back? Nah, screw that. I mean, if they did it towards the end of the season and it was just a gag, that may be one thing, but nah. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I just wouldn't want to see it. I like that guy, but I like him dead.
All right, well, I think we're going to wrap it up for this episode. What did you guys think about the Flash and Arrow finales? What did you think about the Suicide Squad news and all of that good stuff that we talked about in this episode? Let us know in the comments. We are now available on iTunes and Stitcher and Twitter and Facebook. You can find us lots of places now. My name is David C. Robertson, and you can find my sketch comedy and web series on YouTube under my name or on maladjusted.tv. We will see you guys next week when we start our Gotham retrospective.